Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How you doing, everybody? What's going on? Welcome back. Off the top, as usual, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate it. Please tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell your neighbor, tell a coworker, tell somebody, help me grow this thing. It's Friday morning, almost 11 o'clock. Sorry, my voice sounds weird because I'm really tired. But I saved the podcast because I was doing something really cool last night, and I wanted to talk about it while it was still fresh in my mind, and I didn't want to wait till next week. So, but before I get into that, I like to do my milestones. And for those who don't know, I have a 4-year-old son. His name is Miles, and I like to watch him grow up. Isn't that weird? Huh? I like to watch my son grow up. I just like to watch him turn into a little person, man. And every week I'll talk about a different milestone with the why, because I'm clever. And as you guys probably know, he's obsessed with numbers and letters and shapes. Oh, did I even get into the shapes? He knows decagon, nonagon. He was saying nonagon to me like a couple of weeks ago, and I'm thinking, like, that's not even a fucking shape. What, like, why is he saying nonagon? And then I found out that a nonagon is a polygon with 9 sides, and I felt stupid. He knows decagon. I mean, he knows all the shapes up to decagon. He knows parallelogram. He knows what a rhombus is, a trapezoid. I mean, he's obsessed with this stuff, and I love it. I love the fact that my son's a nerd. But his new thing now, he likes to watch the speedometer go up and down when I stop or accelerate. I have a digital display. I think most cars probably have a digital display now, but he likes to watch it. And he's asking about why is it doing that, and explaining to him when I go slower, it goes down. When I speed up, it goes up. And I explained the speed limit to him, and now that's his fucking thing, is to be a backseat cop. I'll go, Daddy can only drive 35 on this road. See that 35? That is the speed limit. And he will watch. Like, Daddy, that's 36. That's too fast. That's 37. That's too fast. And I just want to be like, yo, shut up. All right? You don't know what you're talking about. It's to the point now, I do the speed limit just because I can't deal with hearing him telling me that I'm speeding 1 mile an hour over. So that's his new thing. That's the new milestone. Okay? Him being a backseat driving cop. And I can't deal with it. But I'm getting even better gas mileage. And my insurance rates are going to go down because my son is anal about the speed limits now. So, yes. That's the milestone for the week. Were there any current events that I wanted to talk about? Oh, Obama's farewell speech. I'll talk about that. It was fantastic, man. That dude, man, it's just watching how classy that guy is. It's insane. It's insane that Donald Trump is going to follow this man. I can't even. And I'm trying to be somewhat open-minded about the Trump thing. I'm trying to be open-minded about it. But when you see Obama, like without Obama, I go, okay, you know what? I'm going to give this dude a chance. Everything's going to be fine. It's not going to change my life. You know, Obama really didn't affect my day-to-day life. He's not going to. But then when you hear these news stories about Trump, you know, they make you laugh and cringe at the same time. And you go, we're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. But then when you sit and watch Obama speak for an hour, it's insane. I can't even explain the insanity of it. It's just like, is this Trump dude about to take this guy's job? He's like, you can't even fathom the juxtaposition is ridiculous. You know, the disparity in class and the way he articulates himself, just the look, the humility. I mean, all of it. It's just so polar opposite. It's so polar. It's weird. Like, Watching the Obamas walk off stage is like watching the credits roll of on a great movie. And you're like, man, that movie was good. You know, it's got great music. You're like, ah. And then all of a sudden, like, the credits kind of stop. And then they bring in, like, the blooper outtake reels. That's what I feel like we're headed into. Yeah, it's funny. But it's not the movie. You know what I mean? It's not good. It's just funny. And it's a bunch of fuck ups, but this shit ain't gonna be funny. But I'm trying to be open minded, yeah. But that dude, man, it was a very, it was a great speech. I mean, and as always, as all great men do, I mean, the way he just, you know, I can't really say bow, but the way he was just like, he really tipped his hat to Michelle Obama and how she didn't cry. When he said all those great things about her, I was just like, this woman is strong as shit. It made me cry. But he's just such a smart dude, man. And honestly, the stuff he said about race, if you can't get on board with that shit, you're just blatantly a racist. And you just don't like him at all. I just really don't see how you can look at that dude and go and not go, you know what? He was a classy guy. He showed respect to that office. It's purely, it's political spite for some. It's racial spite or just racism for some. But if you're a decent human being, okay, with a normal thought process, who can step out of yourself for a second and be an adult and admit something, I don't know how you can't go, this is a classy guy who showed respect to the office of the president. His kids did a great job. His wife did a great job. And he did not embarrass us as a world leader. I don't know how you can't come to that conclusion. But it was awesome. It's going to be sad to see him go. But, hey, whatever happens, happens, right? Right. But, all right, to my story. Got a text from Mark Norman a couple of days ago. And you guys probably know Mark Norman's the guy I opened for here in Charlottesville at the Southern back in February, who ultimately got me the Schumer spot. Got a text from him saying that, hey, I might have a gig for you Thursday in D.C. What are you doing? I'm like, nothing, man. You know, I got nothing going on. And other than I'm supposed to be hosting the mic, you know, here in town. But, you know, if I can work with you, I'll get somebody else to do it. So he's like, all right, we're going to try to do a show at the Big Hunt on Thursday. Not really sure yet. I'll keep you posted. So after he said that, I'm like constantly checking my phone. Anytime I got a text message, I'm like, is it him? He's like, if we do the show, you're definitely going to host the show. I'm like, cool. So I was super excited about that, hoping it didn't fall through. I get Winston to host my show here at the Ante Room. So thanks, Winston, for doing that. But get a text yesterday like, hey, the show's good to go. Sean Joyce is going to host, but you're going to come in and do a guest spot. It'll be a great hang. Just, you know, come on out. It'll be fun. And I'm like, cool. So I load up my buddies, me and Ray and my boy Beck. We all roll up there. And we get to the Big Hunt. And for those who don't know, the Big Hunt is like probably the dope, one of the dopest rooms on the East Coast. I like to say it's like the cellar of D.C. Just from the look, man. It's just a hot room. It's subterranean. It's dark. Low ceilings. The laughs kind of like just sit in there. It's packed in. It's hard to get on stage because there's so many people. I love that room. It's just a great fucking room. So we get there. The show is supposed to start at 10, it's like 10:05, 10:10, 10:15. Mark finally shows up. He's like, we're trying to convince Louis to come down and do the show. That's why we didn't leave our show, because Mark and Joe List are opening for Louis all weekend here in D.C., or up there in D.C., while he tapes his special. And he's like, we're trying to convince him to come. They were going to, like, do their sets and then leave, but they figured if we leave, then he's going to go back to the hotel. It's not going to happen. So they hung out there. They finally, you know, tried to convince him to come. And Mark, at first, he's like, so Sean's going to go up. You're going to go up. Louis's going to go up. And if it's like, if he shows, then he'll basically follow you. I'm like, that's going to be insane. But they weren't sure. So it's getting pretty late, like 10:30. Sean Jorgens is like, I got to start the show. He starts the show. And fucking Mark looks at me. He goes, fucking Louis coming. And he's like jumping around, fucking getting all excited and stuff. I'm freaking out because I've never met Louis C.K. in my life. Only been a huge fan of him since day one. So Sean goes up. He has a killer set. He calls me up. I go up. I have a great set. I come on. I do it about 10 to 12 minutes. You know, all my jokes are hitting. There's a few jokes that I did where the tags really never worked correctly, or they were just hit or miss. They just never. But last night I was like, I'm going for these tags. I do the tags for these certain jokes. The tags hit. I mean, it's just like the momentum just built on itself. I did a little bit of crowd work. Some guy, you know, said something. I kind of called him out a little bit. But it was all fun. Closer hit pretty well. Get off stage. I grab my food from the bar, and I get back to the table where the comics sit. And Mark Norman just got his, thumbs up in the air, like, great set. I look to his left, and who was sitting there? None other than Louis C.K., from Louis. You've seen all of his specials. You've seen him on Conan. I mean, you've seen, this dude is a comedy god. He's sitting there. He's got his hand, you know, out extended. And he's like, hey, man, great job. And I do this bit about a doctor being inappropriate. Basically, I don't want to spoil the bit, but I do this doctor bit. And he goes, hey, man, I really like that doctor bit. And I'm like, oh, thank you, sir. So I sit there, I eat my salad. And I'm trying so hard to, like, not stare and, like, freak out. But I see him. I'm like, holy shit, this is Louis C.K. I watch hours of this dude's comedy. I love his TV show. Everything he does is great. He just gave me a compliment, you know, about my comedy. It's just like, it's so validating, you know, to hear somebody like that like my joke. So I'm, like, freaking out in my head. And I just sit there and I eat my salad. Listen to Joe List. He's up there. He's having a hot set. He comes off. Mark Norman goes up. He has a hot set. And everybody's anticipating it. No one else knows that he's here. The way Sean Joyce worded the email, he goes, hey, Mark Norman, Joe List, they're in town, opening for Louis. You know, in parentheses, hey, you never know who's gonna show up to this show. You know, Mark Norman, Joe List show, 10 o'clock. Never know who might pop in. So I think people saw, not Mark and Joe could have sold that show out on their own without Louis. But when you put the fact that he might be there, I think it just made the ticket sell out even faster. So it's packed to the gills. Mark Norman comes off stage. Joe List has already done his set. Sean Joyce goes back up. He goes, all right, everybody, we got a special guest. Don't pull your phones out. You know this guy from HBO. He's been on Conan, his TV show, on FX. Folks, put your hands together for Louis C.K. And people go fucking bananas. They go nuts. And it's just unbelievable how somebody like that just comes in and just, they just own the room, man. They just own it. And it was so cool watching him before the show sit there asking Mark about jokes, you know. He's writing notes on a napkin. He's going through his phone looking at bits, you know, a little notebook looking at. I'm like, this is one of the best comics to ever do this. And he's doing the same shit that every comic does, down to the lowest, newest, freshest open micer. This dude's like up there looking at a napkin, trying new jokes. I mean, that's fucking dope. And some of y'all are like, why is he looking at a napkin? Dude, it's like, he knows his shit, but he's like, you know what? This is kind of like an open mic thing for me. I'm going to give people what they want to hear, but I'm also a comic and I want to work on jokes. That dude has so much respect for comedy. He loves it so much. He's trying out new bits. He's trying out new bits at the Big Hunt in D.C. on a Thursday. It's like 11:30 at Louis C.K., and people are loving it, man. And it's so dope to see somebody with so much success. They can go and do a 4,000-seat theater, 5,000-seat theater, and in some cases an arena. And then after that, go to an open mic go to a small venue and do more time, you know, and not want to go on as soon as they get there, get the crowd worked up in a frenzy and just leave and then have a regular show. He's like, no, I'll just wait and go on last. Like, none of these motherfuckers can follow me, you know. But just being so humble and just so hungry after having so much success and still writing, I can't. That's what being a comic or an artist is about. And the whole the notes on stage, that's like watching Picasso sketch or Basquiat sketch. You know, you get to see it in its earliest stages. Like, where you kind of like, I kind of see what's going on there. It's like, oh yeah, I'm starting to see, you know, I'm starting to see what this is. I like it, but I can't wait to see the finished product. So it was just an amazing experience. Shout out to my man Brian from Comedy Artwork. He was there. We hung out a little bit before the show. I felt bad because I didn't really get to hang out with him that much. I think I told y'all I got a new phone, and I carry two comedy notebooks. I have one where I actually write my jokes, and I have a set list book. And I keep that in my back right pocket, and I have an iPhone 7 Plus, pretty big, so I got to keep it in my back pocket. And this OtterBox case will, like, actually stick to my notebook, and when I pull my phone out, I lost my set list book. And before I got to the Big Hunt, I went down to the Improv to go see my buddy who was doing another show, stopped in to see him. And I'm like, maybe I dropped it at the Improv. So I left Big Hunt freaking out. I'm looking at the ground the entire time. It's like 4 or 5 blocks. I'm like pushing people out of the way. I'm fucking kicking strollers into the street. I fucking pushed some lady's dog in front of a bus. I'm like freaking out. I haven't lost a notebook so far. So I'm like, and on this night, before I'm supposed to be doing this show with Mark Norman and Joe List, I'm like, I can't believe I lost my fucking joke book. So I'm freaking out. I walk all the way back to the Improv. I'm looking around. I'm looking in the trash. I'm freaking out. And I get back to the Big Hunt. I'm fucking bummed out. I'm like, I lost my notebook. This is the worst night ever. I even called my wife. I was like, I can't. Out of all nights to lose my fucking joke book, this is the night. So I get back to the Big Hunt. And the guy hosting the show before the Mark Norman Joe List show, he's like, what's the problem, man? You all right? I'm like, no, I fucking lost my joke book. And then he pulls his hand from behind out of his pocket and like, this notebook? And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. So yeah, I left the Big Hunt for no reason. But that was a scary 15 minutes of walking down downtown DC looking for your joke book that you had for a while. And you think it's gone and you lost all your set list and all your, especially next week I'm doing my headlining show. I have my set already written out. And I'm like, God damn it. Now I got to, yeah, I was just so in my head. And luckily that worked out. Real quick before I get out of here, I'm saying like I'm on stage. Before I go, DC, I love DC, man. DC is such a, I love New York City too, but DC, it's got a New York feel, but it's there's not as many people walking the streets, but it has the same look as a slightly cleaner New York. So it's like, I almost compare DC to like, Bill Burr always talks about how there needs to be a plague and kill like a shit ton of people. It's just like, this is what New York would be if we had that said plague. Like, there's not, you're not shoulder to shoulder. You can actually take your time, stroll down the street, look at stuff. You can just talk to your friend. You don't got to yell because there's 1,000 cabs going, people beeping and cussing, fucking people jackhammering shit. I was just like, this is like a plague. This is like post-plague New York City. This is nice, you know? You can just stroll, not a lot of people. You can take your time getting across the street. You can even cross on the green because it's not that much traffic late at night. But I love DC. I had a great time last night. I'm supposed to be going back up to DC to go to Louis' show. So that should be fun. I'll keep you guys posted on how that goes. Next week, So, yep, there's a show. That's a show. Thank you guys so much for all the support and love on Facebook and Twitter and stuff. Liking, you know, the fact that I got a chance to be on the show with Louis. I don't really want to say I opened for him because it was the Mark Norman Joe List show. I opened for those guys. I'm very grateful. I love working with those dudes. They've done so much for me by mentioning them on their Tuesdays with Stories podcast. If you don't know that podcast, you should definitely check that out. That's my favorite podcast right now. So I'm pretty sure they'll end up talking about tonight at some point. About last night at some point. So please check that out too. Tuesdays with Stories, Mark Norman and Joe List. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN. So there's a show. That's a show. Peace out, everybody. Have a great weekend.